Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, Degrassi alumni. Welcome back to another episode of the D-Grads podcast. I am your host, Shane Kipple, Gavin Spinner-Mason, along with another lovely host. Who are you?
Mike Lobel, or as my mom still calls me, Jay Hogart.
Listen, if this podcast goes on for 10 years, Mike, and I have to fucking hear that every week.
Now. It's my catchphrase.
The thing about having a catchphrase is it should be cool, should be endearing. Oh, it just makes me want to cancel this whole thing. And how are you doing, Andy? You're here too.
I'm stoked. I'm trying to calm down. We had a rough day. We all kind of had a rough day, and we're just gonna have a blast.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah, we
case.
All do. This past week, even though this episode will come out a little bit down the road from today's current date, we did just celebrate the 50th year of TIFF over the weekend, and the Whatever It Takes documentary was screened. It was a lot of fun. Saw a whole bunch of old friends, learn things about the cast that I can't unlearn now. And
Now I'm curious.
Oh, you just have to watch the documentary, sir. That's the whole thing about it.
Well, when's it going to come out? I'm sure everybody wants to know.
I'm not part of the email chain, or at least probably not anymore. I was up until this point, but it was really good. When it finally does make it to streaming services, I would recommend checking out Whatever It Takes. It also just made me realize that throughout all the interviews that... I won't talk about the classic cast of, you know, Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. I won't speak on the cast from Next Class or the later seasons of Next Gen. But of the people that I worked with directly, I will never be as cool as Jake Epstein or Stefan Brogren. They were just so loose and hilarious and witty and sharp and...
Nice.
It gave me an inferiority complex. But anyway, let's move on to today's episode.
Let's be loose and nice today, Shane.
Okay. Thank you. I am my own person. I have to remember that. I'm not trying to be someone else. I can only be myself.
That's right.
Yes. So today we are covering episode 106.
Heck yes.
Season 1, episode 6, The Mating Game. All about mating.
And what a doozy. What a doozy this episode was.
I know.
And it really reminded me of my childhood. There were some familiar feelings in this episode, for sure.
Oh, yes. Some tingles and jingles in the pants. And but before we get into it, because I am very excited to share some stories and hear your notes on the episode today, Mike.
Yeah,
let's go into all of the details of the episode as we do. Original release date in Canada was November 25th, 2001. The writers, the story was done by Ann Moore and Tassie Cameron. The teleplay by Susan Nielsen. Director Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, to set the table, to reopen the time capsule of what life was like in those days.
Take us all back.
Jump on, get on the bus. We are going to the past. 2001, November 25th. The box office, number one in the theaters at that point. Do people even know what theaters are anymore? That's going to be a thing of the
What's
past.
A theater?
That's kind of scary. Yeah, exactly.
No.
Number one at the box office was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And it was really, it was number one in the box office for a while. And rightly so. It was, I mean, no one could argue with how epic that, you know, how many films were there? Eight films? Seven plus?
I lost count at three.
Well, that's a... doesn't say much about your math schooling, but we'll leave that aside for now. Number two in the box office was Monsters, Inc. Oh, yeah, Billy Crystal. Number three, Spy Game with Brad Pitt. And it was Robert Redford, right? I believe in Spy Game.
I think so, yeah.
Along with Brad Pitt. Yeah. And number four, I should have looked into this. I meant to. Black Knight. Do you know that movie? Does that ring any bells for you? Black Knight?
No. What was that?
Andy, do you know about Black Knight?
Yeah, Black Knight is one of my favorite movies of all time. I have it on DVD.
No.
It's a Martin Lawrence comedy where it's kind of like a kid in King Arthur's court, but it's just a grown man. Goes back into medieval times.
I do vaguely remember that. Okay. All right.
Putting it on my watch list right now.
So I'm glad we brought that in there. Thank you, Andy, for educating us on that. Top show was Survivor.
Again?
If one day Degrassi ends up topping the Nielsen charts for ratings on the day that it was on, I will be very, very happy about that. The Billboard top one, I mean, yes, the Billboard Hot 100 chart topper was, again, Family Affair by Mary J. Blige. That one really took the world by storm. And number two was How You Remind Me by Nickelback, or Canadian Pride and Joy.
This is how... Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you should have continued. I so wish you continued.
Yeah, we all had to... We were all made to listen to that full song every morning before the announcements in school because we live in Canada.
Oh, they replaced our announcements in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely
yeah.
replaced with Nickelback.
I didn't hate that song. I actually kind of liked it. It was pretty good.
Oh, no.
I never hated that song, and I don't understand why they got so much hate. I really don't.
I guess it's a guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like people pretending like they didn't like the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Britney Spears and
loved
Christina Aguilera.
Every second.
Yeah. So. We had, Family Affair, How You Remind Me. And the number one album, which I didn't find this stat in any of the prior recordings for those weeks, but it was Michael Jackson's Invincible was the number one album in the world at that point. Mm. And other notable things that happened this day in history. Once again, November 25th, 2001. Rodney Dangerfield was hospitalized for a heart attack on his 80th birthday.
Wow.
I don't know how many people remember Rodney Dangerfield, but he is a legend in comedy. And yes, so he had a heart attack on this day. And for you CFL fans, sorry if I laughed and we have any CFL players who are listeners of the D-Grads podcast, but the Calgary Stampeders won the Grey Cup over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And for those of you that don't know what the CFL is, that's the Canadian Football League. And those are two of the teams.
Yep.
Calgary Stampeders, Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Better cash in your bets.
Yep. And they say that you should learn something new every day. And if it's just a little sports trivia of a league that you did not know existed before today, well, there you go. And now the table is set. Mike?
so nice. Wow, what a trip to memory lane. And here we go with the episode, The Mating Game. This episode opens up where Terry is admiring a chain necklace with the letters A and J dangling off of it that Ashley is going to give to Jimmy. Miss Kwan is explaining that they'll be performing Romeo and Juliet in class in a week and that everyone has their parts assigned to them. They have to all have it memorized, which is just a lot. So they're basically doing the play in class.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley is bummed that she's playing the part of a nurse and not Juliet. But who is playing Juliet? Well, it's Paige. And guess what? Jimmy is playing Romeo. Highly concerning.
Especially when we know what Paige is willing to do to achieve her goal. But I have questions about that as the show goes on. There seem to be some irregularities
in her character.
Not in her character, just in the story arc in general. I mean, we'll get to it, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. You continue on for now, sir.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. She seems to always want what Ashley wants.
Not just that. Don't put words in my mouth. How dare you? Just continue on with the synopsis and we'll get there, okay?
So in Mr. Simpson's class, JT tells Toby that Dr. Sally, a sex ed expert, is coming in to teach the class, okay? Which promises to be pornographic, which JT is like really into. But they are not old enough to attend because they're not in eighth grade yet. So bummer times, right?
Yes.
Mr. Simpson walks in. He looks a little less hurried this time. He's like maybe there on time.
He's getting his shit together and we're happy for him. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. He's getting the school year's happening. He's got his legs under him. And Emma asks permission to make hers about Mama Onu, which is an endangered green turtle. For real. I looked it up. Mama Onu is a real endangered turtle.
But they're still around. Like to this day, it's still an endangered class.
I don't know, man. Like I don't know. I didn't find many pictures. I'm going to be honest. I found very little information. It prompted me to wonder whether they're done.
Well, did it say they're extinct?
No, I couldn't even find that.
Well, if you couldn't find it, it means they're still in danger. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Shane, I spent 2 minutes looking. I looked at a few pictures. I went, oh, cute turtle. And then I moved on.
That's the extent of the research you do for this podcast, Mike. You're obviously not taking it very seriously.
That's it. I'm very surface. I'm very, very surface. So this question about Mama Onu and endangered green turtles induces Toby into a LSD-esque fantasy dream sequence that would frankly rival a movie like Trainspotting.
Or American Beauty.
JT, it's amazing. The lights change, the music starts, like 90s dance music starts pumping.
I wouldn't call it 90s dance music. I would call it like a very PG-13 kind of porn-esque music.
Oh, you thought it was porny?
Yeah, he's fantasizing about Emma coming on to him right there, and she's all lit up, and he's essentially drooling.
You know what it is? It's PG Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I will keep going back to my American Beauty reference right there. Kevin Spacey sitting on the bleachers and watching Mina Suvari dance for him
right.
And all the rose petals.
And Toby basically is like a 55-year-old man trapped in a child's body. So
yes. And there it seemed like he was on the verge of drooling, or you know, drooling in the pants, if you will, if you catch my drift.
I'm catching your drift, Shane. I'm catching it. But I love what they're putting Toby through in season one. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We're seeing so many sides of him. Also, that when the camera turns, the lights go down and start, you know, pulsing, and we go into his dream. It's like comes out of nowhere, guys.
See, you said the word.
We're not doing that. JT snaps him out of it, just like I'm snapping Shane out of his craziness. And do you remember wearing being under those lights and sweating in?
Yeah.
We were shooting winter in the middle of summer often. So yeah, it was hot. Those lights got really hot. You couldn't touch them, right? It was like a stove.
No, of course. And for those of you that don't know, when you are recording, especially in a studio, those mics are so sensitive to every little sound that they cut the air conditioning. They have to. It's heard. So, and they're trying to save on their ADR budget, which would be your
additional dialogue.
Yeah. You know, going in afterwards and re-recording lines. Yes, additional dialogue. So they would kill the AC, and then you're just in there with these hot lights with 80 crew members and cast, everyone breathing, and those rooms got so hot so quickly.
Steamy.
You didn't need any extra help sweating just from the lights, but you certainly got it when they turned that AC off.
That's right. Anyway. That combined with, Toby's prepubescent, fantasies are really turning the heat up in this episode.
But speaking of sweating, Sue Johansson.
In gym class, Dr. Sally, played by, that's right, Shane, Sue Johansson, who is a world famous sex educator.
She was. She has since passed away, I believe.
She's passed, I think. Oh.
I think so.
Yeah, I think she had, actually. I do remember hearing that.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, but she did pass away. She was from the best of my knowledge, she was a really good friend of Linda Schuyler's.
Whoa.
And she did appear in the original Degrassi, and she was as Dr. Sally, I believe, and she was there in Hours.
Nice.
We were very excited to see her come in because she, as you said, she was a very well-known public figure, like sexual education woman, and her videos were used in our actual schools in health class, much like Degrassi was. And now I'm sitting there with the cast getting a private lesson, scripted nonetheless, but a private lesson from Sue Johansson. It was surreal.
Yeah, if we had a Mount Rushmore in Canada, she would be one of them.
Well, if there was a Mount Rushmore of sexual educators, it would be her.
What?
No, listen.
That's
her,
really specific.
Are we not here to be specific? It would be her, Dr. Ruth, and probably Dr. Drew Pinsky from Loveline and whatever else. Yeah.
I can't even name four sex educators that would go onto a Mount Rushmore of sex education. But I love the image, Shane. Thank you.
Am I a sex addict? Anyway.
Yeah, so Sue Johansson passed away on June 28th, 2023.
Oh, wow, only 2 years ago.
Sex with Sue was a documentary from 2022 about Sue Johansson, and that was actually written and directed by Lisa Rideau.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh. I knew I saw it somewhere. I had to figure out the connection, yeah.
It's all come full circle.
Okay. For those of you that don't know this crazy connection, Lisa Rideau is the director of the Whatever It Takes documentary. I just saw her over the weekend. I just got a message from her 20 minutes ago about the weekend we had at TIFF. So that is very cool. Very cool digging that you did there, Andy. Thank you for putting that all together for us.
Yeah. Monumental undertaking with the Degrassi documentary, and congrats are in order.
So what did Spinner do there, Mike?
Well, you know, he's always got to ask the fun questions. Asking for a friend, right? Who's obviously Jimmy, sitting right there with Ashley, who are totally embarrassment. You know, he's asking, hey, so like basically at what point in a relationship do you have sex? Like what's too long?
Yeah.
You know? Like, how do you know when to bridge that or when to take things to the next level?
Yeah, he made no friends in that moment because everyone reacted to him after with like, you said 8 months. We're the only couple in school who've been together for 8 months. Who else could have been?
Yeah.
Jimmy was not happy. Ashley was not happy. I think Spinner thought he did a good thing for his buddy.
Totally. And I think everybody in this episode is thinking they're doing good things. Like everyone is highly invested in Ashley and Jimmy having sex, right?
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's how we were when we were kids, because we just wanted to know that it was possible, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it was exciting. It was exciting. It was a big deal. And yeah, it makes sense to me.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Back at their lockers, Paige is criticizing Ashley and Jimmy's relationship, basically saying that, you know, Jimmy doesn't get Ashley any good gifts. It's not a good sign. Maybe he's losing interest in you.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to, you know, take things up a notch.
And this is what I'm wondering again, like what is Paige's motivation for this? Why is she trying to mess them up, or is she really trying to get Ashley to experience sex
right. So
that Ashley could join that club? Or like, what is she trying to break them up? What's she trying to do?
I don't know. I guess time will tell. And I had the same question here too, because I thought, oh, here we go. Paige again. She's going to come in and try to take what she wants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah.
In the cafeteria, Shane Spinner, is way into Shakespeare now, telling Jimmy how salacious the text is. And the group of guys are gossiping about Paige losing her virginity. I heard she lost her virginity to a camp counselor.
That brings back so many memories of like when not everyone had had sex yet, when most people hadn't, and you find out that one person did, and those rumors just, you know, grow legs and take on a life of their own. I heard that she had sex with two guys in the same day. I heard that they did it on a camping trip. I heard they did it on a boat. Like it brought back such.
It just, yeah, just for the just sends the imagination running wild with possibilities.
Yeah. A fun fact about that group. So Spinner was sitting there reading Shakespeare, which is hilarious in and of itself. Jimmy comes in and there's another friend.
Yeah.
Who was not named. I'm sure we could find his character name. That is the guy. I'm sorry, I forgot your name right now, buddy. But that is the man that I beat out for Spinner. That could have been Spinner.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
So they're like, you're Spinner's friend now.
You're Spinner's friend without a character name. No, he was such a nice dude. I'm sure we could easily find his name, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But yes,
we totally easily could. We just have not done the research.
We have not done the research, but I was actually pleasantly surprised. I completely forgot that he got himself a smaller role in the show afterwards, and I'm curious how long he was actually there for.
Yeah, well, we'll see, I guess.
There was another role I beat him out for too, for Life with Derek.
Let's just gloat.
Yeah, I don't want to gloat. Don't want
25
gloat.
Years ago,
I guess so.
So Spinner pushes Jimmy, basically saying that he'll never get past second base because, you know, Ashley's got a rep for being what's the word? Prude, timid,
chastity belt wearing Ashley.
That's right, chastity Ashley.
Yeah. Okay. So with all of these rumors about Paige having sex, and also Spinner finishes that scene by kind of like encouraging Jimmy to, with his metaphor about two diners and one of them sells fries and the other one doesn't sell fries, go with the place that sells fries. Isn't Spinner kind of with Paige at this point?
I guess, like, you know, grade school, high school, like these things happen and they fizzle out. And then next week you're with somebody else. I don't know.
No, you're right. The continuity is kind of weird it's here. Weird. I was just thinking of
right?
that.
Right? Yeah. Because what was that? Two episodes ago. I guess it was Eye of the Beholder at the dance where Terry gets drunk and then Spinner's going to be using Paige's study notes from here on in. And then the next episode, the following one, Paige was walking down the hallways with him and asking, does he think she should get an agent? And now what? She's just on to, yeah. Why are they just casting this boy aside? And why does he seem not to care at all? I don't know.
I think Spinner is he's just out to lunch on it.
Or maybe he just has so many women on the go all the time.
Wouldn't you like to think so?
I do.
But yeah, no, there is a little funny tracking there. That's probably going to happen through the seasons. But yeah, good point.
Before we move on. So the guy who was sitting at the table with you and Jimmy, his name was Adrian Roberto, and he was just credited as Guy for the episode. That's it.
Okay.
That's his whole role. Yeah.
Thank you for your service, Adrian.
Are we sure it wasn't Guy? Like, it not like French Canadian. he's geek. It was definitely it was him and I at the screen test for Spinner, and yeah.
Imagine I could be sitting here with Adrian Roberto instead of Shane Kippel,
and we'd be calling you Guy Gee.
Yeah, you'd be Guy.
I'm so sorry, Geese. See what I did there. All right, moving on.
Toby joins Sean, Emma, and Manny at lunch, saying that he was inspired by Emma talking about Mama Ono, which we know he's just trying to get close to Emma. He seems to have read up on a bunch of environmental issues to impress her.
Mm-hmm.
Emma, however, has eyes for Sean, and she invites him to join them and the gang at a movie night at Manny's place. So Toby panics. It's funny watching his wheels turn here and freaking out.
But it was, once again, like, Sean came off as such a hard ass at the beginning.
Yep.
Like, such a hard ass. That scene also made me very uncomfortable because you saw, like, Toby's wheels turning and then asking Emma and then, like, Emma immediately turning to Sean and going, like, can you come? And just Toby's heart being crushed. Systematically ripped out of his chest.
I feel like we've all been there too. Yeah.
When you just don't understand that the girl that you have eyes for does not feels the exact same way about the guy who's right over there.
Yeah.
Totally. Because he's so smart, but he's not smart enough to figure his way out of this one.
Well, he's a smart guy, but like love is complicated, and you're right at the beginning of figuring all those feelings, those emotions out at that age. It doesn't matter. If you're so infatuated with someone, you can't even recognize necessarily that they don't like you back that way.
Honestly, my heart is breaking for Toby. I felt like Toby so much in this situation growing up. It's crazy. I'm sure everybody does in a lot of points of their life, but it hurt.
But Sean steps in. Sean, I guess, is the most emotionally intelligent at this point. He sees Toby's face and he's like, nah, it's fine. I got stuff to do tonight. He backs out to help Toby out. I thought Sean was supposed to be the badass that no one could sway him. And he's turning out to be a real softy.
Well, you know what? Degrassi's got a rep for turning bad guys into nice boys.
I feel you, Sean Cameron.
So they walk into the school and they start opening up and talking about their puppies.
Yeah.
We'll get
Yeah. There. Yeah. 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 Anyway, it was a very noble back out.
It was very noble. Sean declining. Toby is safe and he breathes a sigh of relief. JT calls out Toby for being completely gaga over Emma in the next scene, which is funny because JT is just like so horned up in this episode and kind of like all the previous episodes. You would think he would maybe be like happy for Toby, like, hey man, that's awesome, but he's like, yo, stop being so weird.
I guess they're both still traumatized and processing having to watch porn with Toby's parents.
Yeah. You remember what happened last time, right?
Yeah. We
can't do that again, man.
Like, Toby's like, oh, we can't, I don't want to talk about sex anymore. And JT's like, that's all I want to talk about. Yeah, these things manifest in different ways for different people. Oh, yeah.
So in Miss Kwan's class, they are rehearsing for Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And things are getting a little heated up between Paige and Jimmy because the material. So Ashley barges in to a love scene, totally unscripted. How rude. To try to block this situation from happening.
Yep. Yep. And once again, what a tyrannical move by Paige. Maybe tyrannical isn't the right word, but like with just complete, it's not even disregard. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's making out with Ashley's boyfriend under the guise of it being, you know, scripted. But she pulls Jimmy in. Jimmy seems very shocked. I don't know if I knew a girl like Paige in high school, or maybe I did, and I actively tried to stay so far away from her that she just disappeared from my memory. But man,
maybe
she's evil.
If you are that girl, please write into the show. dgradspodcast@gmail.com.
We want to know how you come to your decisions. We want to study you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I got to say, at this point, this is where I'm really noticing the music choice that is happening in this episode.
Regal, very, very Shakespearean, almost like it's like a stage production. Yeah.
It's so fun. It's Shakespearean. It's like Baroque, classical, and they went like full into it. They committed to it. I think it was a brave choice, and it really pays off. And I don't know, like when I see Degrassi do these highly creative, highly sort of like experimental filmmaking choices, like I wonder, first of all, it's super charming. And I just like, I hope that we keep that, you know, like that inventiveness.
They were really leaning into the Romeo and Juliet thing here. And it started to feel with that A plot whenever anything was being discussed about, you know, the idea of having sex or anything surrounding the play. This music, it brought us in there.
Yeah,
it really did. It was nice.
I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it. It's basically like a D&D video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got nonstop music like that all throughout it. And I've been playing it a ton. And I thought something was wrong with my brain while I was watching the episode because I kept hearing it and it sounded exactly like the music that's in the game. I'm like, what is going on? Is it playing in the background or something? I was freaking out.
That's hilarious.
It has so many things. It brings me back to like, you know, early versions of Zelda. There just anywhere where you would be walking into a castle courtyard and there would be someone with a lute and just I don't know.
Pure lute soundtrack. So Paige, trying to be a girl's girl, I think at this point, she's trying to be a girl's girl. She's telling Ashley to turn up the chemistry with Jimmy before someone else swoops in.
Who has more chemistry.
That's right. So I do feel like in this moment, she is now trying to be like a friend looking out for her. It's just a very weird, almost passive aggressive way to do it.
But even that line confused me because now she throws that in her face that someone with more chemistry is going to come along and get in there, which is her. She's referencing what Miss Kwan was saying about Jimmy and Paige's chemistry. So what is Paige up to? Is she trying to get Ashley to sleep with him or else she'll do it? Or is she just like, what is this purpose?
I read it as like she has high hopes for Ashley and she knows she's not going to do it without a challenge. So she's going to be the challenger just to give her that sense of competition to get her to do something. That's how I took it.
Well, but also like, is she trying to get her to do it so she'll embarrass herself and not be able to do it? Like there are just so many reasons that a girl like Paige would get into. Like who knows what her twisted mind is trying to orchestrate here?
Well, it works. Ashley immediately marches over to Jimmy and tells him that she is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink. And they're going to have the house all to themselves tonight.
Yeah. I really like that. She walks up to him and kisses. Did you like that? He's like, yeah. Like, well, if you like that, you'll love what I have planned for our anniversary tonight. She also, I don't know if you noticed, maybe I'm crazy, but she almost dropped into a slight like London lilt?
Yes, I did. It's like the Romeo and Juliet accent. It's
yes.
Yeah, it's coming in. It's invading people's minds, the mind virus.
Yeah, like, am I crazy or did you hear that
too?
No,
I picked that out too.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Everybody's good. Everyone's yeah.
That's vindicating.
Either the characters are being affected by Shakespeare or the actors on Degrassi themselves are being inspired by Shakespeare, and it's slipping into their performances.
I'm just imagining Melissa getting notes from the director like, "Listen, you're doing the British accent again." She's like, "I don't even hear it. I don't know how to break this right now.
I can't stop."
Oh, that was awesome.
So she tells Jimmy, it's on, wink, wink, get ready for this, you're going to love it. Well, the race to buy condoms is now on.
First of all, Jimmy's reaction was so like, if he hasn't had sex to this point, and Ashley was like, all right, it's going to happen. It's going to happen tonight. His reaction was so like, all right. And then back to like looking in his locker. Like, I remember, do you remember your first time, the lead up to your first time,
Mike? Me? Yes, it was monumental. Okay. But I will say this, I was trying to be so cool, like, yeah, cool, man, not a big deal, whatever. But inside, I was just like freaking out. I was melting.
I'm not talking about the first time, like the actual action of like the beginning of, you know, how it all went down. I'm talking about the lead up to like when you had sex for the first time, was it impromptu? Was it spontaneous, or was it something that was planned with someone that you knew very well? And you're like, okay, this is the date. Circle it on the calendar. Valentine's Day. Blah blah blah. Where
honestly, your man, birthday, it my was birthday, the latter. Yeah. I know I seem like a real spontaneous kind of guy, but this was like, all right, here's the date. It was my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
We're getting really personal now, but this is good. It's good. I can say this stuff to
you can
thousands of people.
No one's stopping
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, it's
yourself.
No one's stopping me. yeah, no, it was really special. Like, it was planned out. It was a birthday thing. It was a really nice thing. I know that's not everybody's experience. But yeah, it was very, it, so yeah, it was planned. It's kind of, but it was kind of planned like this, right? It was like, okay, we got to rip the Band-Aid off, you know, like we're getting older. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to do this now. We got to do it. Pick a day.
Now, my first time was also, it was planned. It was the girl I was dating at the time. We started dating in right around New Year's of whatever year, but she... Like I knew her for
2022.
I knew her for years leading up to that point. And we, you know, we had fooled around, but we had both of us were virgins. And then we actually started dating and were in it for a while. So I guess a month into it, we were talking about it, and so this is probably like late January of that year. And she was saying like, you know, like, I think we should wait a little bit longer, like maybe around your birthday. My birthday's in June. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I can wait 5 months. I've waited this long. And then leading up to Valentine's Day, it just suddenly, she's like, actually, let's do it on Valentine's Day. I'm like, okay, even better. But we like, it was in her room and there was music playing. The lights were out. There was a lava lamp. I'm not even kidding. And tea lights all over the room. It was very romantic. And we had no idea what we were doing.
I feel like I'm there, Shane. This is incredible. Thank you for painting the picture.
But what, like, did you know what you were doing your first time? Or was it the
heck
most?
No,
like,
man.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
I was just scared witless. And no one, yeah. My hands felt like they were made out of concrete, and I don't know. I almost threw up. It was bad.
I remember having a thought at one point. We both laughed about it during it. Like, this is sex. This is what it, this is what everyone's talking about. Yeah. It's just like, this might need some TLC, you know, or not quite here yet.
Yeah. Totally. There's time. You got time.
The cat sat on the mat.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
We're getting a little bit ahead of the characters in the show here, and let's see where they're at. They got to get some condoms because safe sex, kids, this is important. And so the race is on to buy condoms. Ashley runs home to jump on a website in 2003 to have them like couriered to her house.
Yes, it was not 2003. It was 2001. Did she have Amazon Prime or something? Because those condoms got there the next day.
It was like she was...
Yes.
She was the first... She was Jeff Bezos' first customer. And it was...
Yeah. He was actually the guy on the bike that we see later. He was doing all the couriering on his own. But does she have a credit card? How did she pay for this stuff? Did... Shipping address?
Yeah. When he shows up, he's got a credit card reader and she just pulls out her own credit card and swipes it and walks in with her her box of condoms.
Was it her own credit card or was it her mom's credit card?
It had to be her own. Like, you would use your mom's credit card to buy condoms,
right?
Would it
have said condoms on the credit? Like, how sophisticated were the POS terminals at that point and the receipts, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, we didn't get told that. I wonder if that was something that was in the script.
But seriously, like with the near Amazon delivery type of thing like that, I just saw that. Like, no. There was no option for discreet home delivery of, especially not condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Terry is questioning Ashley's motives for wanting to go all the way with Jimmy. She's trying to be a friend, you know, and protect her. Is it because she really wants to have sex or is it because she wants to impress Paige? And of course, Ashley does what Ashley does anytime anybody threatens her autonomy. She basically insults Terry to her face, who gets really upset and walks out.
Yeah. And I think that sort of speaks to Ashley not being sure about this. Building her sexual house on pillars of sand. And
that's such a good line.
That is a great line, Shane.
Thanks, guys. And just doesn't want Terry to, you know, burst her bubble on something that she's very, very unsure about. And so she does lash out. Felt very bad for Terry in that moment. And Ashley didn't even do the typical TV thing and like call after her. She just watched her go and then orders the condoms from Amazon.
Meanwhile, back at school, Toby is impressing Emma with his hacking skills. Emma's trying to get to some sort of environmentalist website. The school's obviously got some sort of filter on it, and Toby jumps in to get past the firewall. Or does he? Because all of a sudden, he is transported once again into a romance-induced fantasy dream sequence. But Emma snaps him out of it.
The thing that I want to know about that, you saw his search engine, right? The one that he used.
Yeah.
It's called Toby Tracks.
That's right. A little creepy.
Do you think there was a filter on... I feel like Toby... wants Emma so badly and is so sophisticated on the computer. He knows the net, as he said.
Here comes the conspiracy, folks.
that he did something to Emma's computer and made those results unsearchable so he could come in and save the day.
I agree.
And Emma gave up so easily, too. It was just like, I don't get it. There's nothing on Endangered Turtles. Look. And then, let me try. Endangered Turtles. Oh, here's everything you ever wanted to know. I don't know.
I love this.
It's a little suspect.
I love this moment. You're right. It is a little bit creepy. It's a lot. And it's also a lot that he just kind of keeps having these, like, fugue state moments just sitting next to Emma. Like, it's so intense, this experience. He's going, I know it's your artistic license to, you know, simulate what it really feels like inside, but I'm also kind of like, yo, he is on a trip right now.
But this time there was no light. There was no heat, you know? This is just a stone cold fantasy that he was having. But Emma was not, she was not going to entertain Toby tuning out. Did he actually fall asleep? Because she's like, she
yeah,
said
like fall
that,
asleep at the computer and he woke up.
Yeah. She said something to that point, and maybe she was just saying like, you're taking forever. And she's like, I need you to be awake if you're going to help me. Can you imagine? He was so aroused, he passed out.
I like to think he was staring directly at her and drooling out of both corners of his mouth.
But also eyes completely vacant.
Yeah, just like gone.
He's just not there.
Anyways, at the lockers, Ashley tells Jimmy they're on for tonight. Paige comes up interrupting them. Hey, you know, listen, we can do rehearsal without you. You're not necessary. You're just the nurse. No big deal if you've got a lot on your plate. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Ashley doubles down. Of course, we're still on. We're still on for tonight, Jimmy. Emma and the crew are leaving school, but they get caught up with Liberty. Emma gets caught up with Liberty. Toby's dreams are slipping away yet again because she's got to go do something for the paper, right?
Yes, because Liberty specifically said, I scheduled it in my Palm Pilot. They're really making a meal out of describing every piece of technology that everyone is using in this episode. Yeah.
We're very current. We're a very current show. We use Palm Pilots. Ashley is at home receiving her condoms via the courier, as we talked about. Same day. Incredible. I don't believe it for 2001, but hey, awesome. The future is here. Her mom notices this is going down and she starts to pry, but she avoids talking about the package. She gets away with it. Meanwhile, Spinner and Jimmy are doing their own condom purchasing. They are in a convenience store working up the courage to buy condoms. So real. I vividly remember this playing out in my real life. I had to go buy condoms in a pharmacy. Just the getting up the courage to, you grab the box mic, one foot in front of the other, maybe go when not a lot of people are there in the queue.
But there are always going to be way more people on the day that you go to buy condoms for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And you get up there. It's empty, right? The counter's empty. And the second you get close to the counter, you're like almost home free. 15 people walk up.
And all women. Like all women. All women. Different ages. The cashier is a woman. Yeah.
Totally. Mother with like a little girl. She points at the box. Mommy, what's that box?
What's that?
Hey, get away, kid. Get away. You.
Yeah. Everyone turns around. The grandmother's like, oh, I remember my first time. And
oh, my God.
Dying inside. That actually didn't happen to me. I remember I was the first time I went to buy condoms. I was so nervous that something crazy and extremely embarrassing would happen. But it didn't. I actually had there was no line, and it was a male cashier and just cashed me out, and that was fine. And then when
did he fist bump you? What did he do? Nice.
He's like, yeah. There's also a deal on this KY lube. No, I actually can't remember what happened at that point, but I remember it. What I really built it up in my head and heard about other people's experiences, and I didn't have one. I was a little sad about that.
Well, Christian Potenza is certainly making you squirm. The actor who's playing the checkout clerk, as you mentioned before, was doing everything he possibly could to make it uncomfortable for you and Aubrey. And I think he succeeded, but mainly through just the choice of shaving his sideburns into that pattern.
That was one of the things he was known for. Now, he was, I remember that scene being a lot longer, and maybe it's because of what I said, that it just took so long to get the right take because we were laughing. But he was so funny on camera, off camera. And like until we got yelled at and really, really reamed out for taking too long, we were having such a great time. And then it was all down to business and fear for job security. It was a fun scene though.
And down to business we are about to get, because Jimmy is suddenly at Ashley's house. Awkward vibes. She leads him into the bedroom. They sit down on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
For quite a long time. And then we cut back to school.
So here's my question. In that scene, they had obviously fooled around before, because in the cafeteria with Spinner, Jimmy, and Guy, Spinner said that, like, he called Ashley, like, you know, Ashley second base only Kerwin or something like that.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I'm trying to, they've obviously fooled around. So they're so awkward here. It's like, it's almost like they haven't even kissed before.
Yeah. Cause of what they're about to do.
I understand. But here for my own, for me, please. I can't even remember. We know what first base is, right? Just kiss.
Oh, we're doing the bases now. Yeah. No.
Is third oral?
I get confused all
third
the time.
Third is oral, right? Andy's just laughing. Third is oral. We know at home play it is. Or home run, score, whatever you want to
do.
But what is second base? That was always a little,
I thought second base was like fully making out.
It's like under the clothes? No.
I thought that
really? Is that what it is?
Third.
Or is it something like base? Under the clothes, but the clothes stay on?
Maybe it's time we retire this baseball metaphor. It is not working.
I don't think it is. I just want to bring it back up to speed.
I think that I agree with this Redditor, Edge of Dreams, because I just pulled up a Reddit thread on this. They said first base is kissing, second base is heavy petting and touching over the clothes.
Over the clothes.
Third base is touching underclothes or anything with hands or mouth.
Okay.
And then home run is just straight up going to pound town.
Thank you, Edge of Dreams.
So third base, like that, those are some big moves getting to from second base to third base.
Oh yeah, third base is like a whole new world.
No,
don't you dare close your eyes.
I just had like a whole flash of Andy's life in my head there when he said, when he dropped the
hold your breath,
Aladdin
it gets
reference.
Better. Is that what?
yeah, that song's pretty gross, dude. When you think about it.
Oh my god,
we've come so far.
My goodness.
All right, fantastic, thank you for that.
Back in school, everybody has their clothes on. Emma is pining for Sean. She ditches Liberty to talk to him. Good call, Emma. He's in the computer lab researching Springer Spaniels, which he explains is because he had one, Charlie, when he lived with his parents, but he can't have one in the apartment that he lives in with his brother now. And so they share this very sweet moment of connection where Emma gets to know him a little better.
Yeah. What I want to know, though, is did I just miss it? Or how did Emma know that Sean was just sitting there? I thought she was using Sean as an excuse to get away from Liberty. And then she saddles up right next to Sean. Like, oh, she really did know that he was there.
Yeah.
Like, was there a shot of him? Because I don't know if everyone remembers the layout, but The library was right next to the media immersion lab, and it was all windows. So there is a very good chance that Emma would have had line of sight of Sean, but we didn't see that. So
either that, or she's just memorized his entire timetable.
Yeah, that could be true too.
So I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah,
Jimmy and Ashley are mid makeout, and I will say, those kissing sounds were mixed very loudly, front and center. Ashley has to excuse herself to psych herself up in the bathroom. She goes to the bathroom, right?
She doesn't. She says she has to go to the bathroom, but she just stands outside the door and talks to herself and tries to encourage herself to get back in there, kid.
That's right. Come on, you can do this. Just grow up. That was really powerful. I liked that she was saying, you know, just grow up, because that was, you know, that was the feeling. It was like, I don't feel ready for this, but I want to be ready for this. And that was, that expresses what we were all feeling back then pretty well.
Yeah.
She comes back in and she lets Jimmy down softly. She explains she can't do this. And maybe Paige is the girl for you.
Uh-huh.
Which throws Jimmy for a complete loop, because he explains to her. He's like, whoa, 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 you've got this totally wrong. I think he kind of sees what's going on there a little bit too. Like, no, I don't want Paige. You're the one I'm with, and you're the person I want to be with. This is, and frankly, I'm not ready for sex either. So let's just call it.
But he is ready for necklaces.
He's so ready for necklaces. He's ready for awesome gifts from Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah. In an alternate universe, if she's just like, maybe you belong with a girl like Paige. It's like, yeah, no, I was thinking about that. And I just wanted your blessing. All right. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah. No, it was very cute that they were both forcing their way into it. Jimmy, like, Ashley was kind of, she was pushing the envelope on this whole thing, and Jimmy seemed like he was fine letting things continue on the way that they were. But alas, they did not do it. They remain at second base.
They didn't. And so the interesting thing about this scene to me is that it feels like the last scene of the episode. It's not. It's a little bit of a false ending. Other episodes would have stopped here. That's where the freeze frame would have been, on this sort of moment of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But we go back to Toby. I guess they're all at Manny's house at this point, right?
Sitting on the front steps, West Side Story style, yes.
That's right. So, and Toby is really upset because Emma is a no-show. She's hanging out with Sean. So he gets upset. He goes off, walks home, and walks right upstairs and walks right into Ashley's room to interrupt Ashley and Jimmy, who are blowing condom balloons and letting them fly all around the room.
Mm-hmm. And there was immediate character breakage when those condoms, when those balloons went flying. Jake was laughing. Aubrey was, I think, was afraid to turn his head towards camera because he was laughing. So it would have been okay if he was laughing, but Toby was supposed to be really pissed off at that point. But it was a cute scene.
But it was just such a hilarious sight to see these like little zeppelins of condom zeppelins flying around the room. Perfect timing too on that shot as the door opens.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. So it's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
So Toby is upset. He is now, before he exits, he gives Jimmy a very salty piece of advice. Girls aren't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And walks out.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley turns to Jimmy and gives Jimmy exactly what he wants, a chain necklace with their initials, and he seems to think it's pretty nifty. Just what I've been wanting. A and J on my neck. Next day, we're at school. Toby reads Emma the riot act for not showing up. He's really giving her a hard time here.
As he should.
He's been mortally wounded. I get it. He's in love.
when he was on the steps, he I felt very bad for him because he's like, guys, like I did all of this for her. And, you know, like they all knew that he did all of that for her. And now he's and no one seems to care. Like, I mean, Toby is just he's getting desperate. He's so infatuated with her. He has such a crush. It's all he can think about. And then he thought he might actually have a chance this time, and now it all blew up in his face. We remember what young love was like. That's painful, painful stuff. And then to get hit in the face with a condom afterwards, I mean, come on. Talk about salt on the wound.
Toby is a casualty. He's a casualty of love, and Emma's confused by his behavior. So Manny elects to tell Emma, like, hey, listen, Toby has a huge crush on you, obviously. Now it's making sense to Emma.
And she was blindsided. She did not see that coming at all. It wasn't like usual suspects, like slow motion mug drop thing. It was a,
yeah,
Toby? And I wonder what she was thinking in that moment.
Yeah. I don't know.
Was that like a Toby? Oh my God. And now I'll start looking at him differently? Or like, what a betrayal. I thought he was my friend.
It's like kissing my own brother.
Yeah.
I don't think Emma digs Toby.
I don't think so either.
Sorry to say. At his locker, Jimmy tells Spinner a fib about why him and Ashley didn't go through with it last night, and you bought it.
Very guy thing to do, though, right?
Totally. 100%.
Like, oh, yeah, like we were right there. We were right there. We were naked. We were looking at each other, yeah, and then pride. Someone came home, and I was like, damn it. This is all I've wanted, to have sweet love with you.
He tells a lie, an innocent lie, with no victims. Who knows? Or maybe not. They didn't go through with it. And Ashley apologizes to Terry,
mm-hmm,
at their locker. She says she was totally out of line and that she was sorry. A real heartfelt apology here. And you know, Terry, they're thick and thin. So Terry accepts it. She asks if Jimmy was upset that they didn't have sex. And it turns out he was pretty cool about it. Entirely cool. And off of Ashley's reaction, we freeze frame.
Yeah.
And that's the episode.
So Ashley did tell the truth to Terry. Jimmy didn't want to be embarrassed by not wanting to go through with it, which, like I said, it sounds really true to form, because the guys just wouldn't understand. That was too, everyone's just trying to posture and be tough and be cool, even if they're terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't want he can't handle the disappointment. You're disappointed. Now I got to handle my best friend's disappointment for me.
And he's going to make fun of me for it. Like, oh, what, you're going to try to have sex with Ashley again?
He knows Spinner very well. He knows he would do that.
He does.
But yeah, so that was the episode. It felt very true to life. It felt very, very grounded in reality, this one.
It did. It brought up a lot of childhood memories for me, of just trying to feel my way into that world. And, you know, no, I felt it really, that awkwardness between Jimmy and Ashley, and that's, you know, kids just trying to explore a world that they've learned so much about and are told that's supposed to be special and sacred and fun, and but they have no idea how to navigate it. I thought it was done very well. And poor Toby, honestly. Like,
when's Toby gonna get his break?
I don't know. But as I'm sure we have all longed for that one girl that just did not see us. There are so many songs about that. There are movies about that. It's a story as old as time. And just watching Toby go through that.
How do you know about my songs?
How do you know about my movies?
Should we get to mailbag? I mean, we're going a little long.
If you guys have any questions for the boys or any of our guests that we have on the show, just email us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com or join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes. This week, we have a few. There's an email from KJ. KJ asks, before you guys get to season 3, would you consider doing a special episode for Schools Out? Your commentary on the movie would be interesting to me, especially with how it relates to Craig's season 3 plot as a whole. See, I didn't even know Schools Out existed. I guess it was the Degrassi movie that said the F word a couple of times.
It did.
That's right. Yeah.
And I am actually really excited to watch that. It would be cool, even though we are going to go back and go through the original Degrassi shows, it would be cool to watch that before season three and see how it connects. What do you guys think?
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking about when we could work Schools Out in. I did think it would be when we were done with Next Gen. But I never drew any connection between Schools Out and Craig's storyline.
We'll just have to see.
I guess we'll have to see. Yeah. So I don't know, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think for the sake of drawing those parallels and sort of setting up a character arc, I think it would be really fascinating as a case study to do that. So yeah, I'm 100% on board.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Good stuff. Okay. All right. Moving on to Discord. This is from Daphne. Were you ever able to influence any kind of lines in your characters or what your characters might have said? Like how some actors or actresses will improv a scene or lines and the director will end up keeping it in there. Did you ever get to experience this or anything you wish your character would have gotten to say or do outside of their set lines or actions? Like my character had to say blank, but what I really wanted to say or do was blank. So two questions there.
People tried to do a little bit of improv or be a little loose with lines a lot. But the thing about the difference between working in film when the director has a lot of latitude with the script, and many directors actually are co-writers on those scripts, you can change things in real time. Actors can work with the directors and writers to make the dialogue feel more real as well. It happens all the time. But in network TV, the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that went into getting every line there after all those revisions. Sometimes the actors don't even know why this line is so important, because later on there's a callback to that line. And if you didn't use this specific word, that line that comes in later won't make any sense. So that's why you have your continuity person or your line producer come up to you and go like, no.
Nancy,
or
in our case, it was Nancy.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's I got away with a little bit of murder on that show. I feel bad. Because the writers are the bosses. They own you. And but I would sometimes lines are hard to say. They're written. They're not performed when they're written. They're not thought of to be performed, or like. It ends up being like peanut butter sticky in your mouth and you can't do it. So I would like change little things here and there, but I never got inserted anything into my character that I thought they picked up on and then developed and ran with it. Maybe my personality, but no lines particularly. But there was always lines that I thought, what the heck is this line about? It's so weird. Like just tough lines to say. I was trying to think of some of the moments, like the chemical spill moment when Jay's pouring out soda on the ground in front of Emma to taunt her. There were some lines where it was like, I had to think extra hard about how am I going to play this line? Because it seems like a stretch, or it seems like, maybe hard to say or a weird thing to say or do in the moment. So I would become really sort of preoccupied with some of those stickier lines and trying to sell them as best as I could.
Okay. Well, moving on, we have an email from Che. This is our final question of the week. What storylines or episodes are you most excited to talk about for this rewatch podcast?
I think anything with Jay and Spinner.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be so fun. We're going to get into so much detail and like our drunk stuff in the ravine.
Any of our drunk stuff. We had so much drunk stuff.
And then just being drunk just normally in real life together.
We have to be drunk for those episodes. But also the Friendship Club retreat where Spinner comes and punches Jay in the face and throws him into the volleyball net. And the cancer storyline, I'm looking forward to talking about Paige's rape trial and the car crash in that. I'm excited to talk about that. And obviously when we get to the end, the two movies, the Degrassi Takes Hollywood and Degrassi Takes Manhattan. Very excited for those.
I forget that you guys have a 19-year-old drinking age in Canada.
18 yes. in some provinces, but...
And we would drive to those provinces.
Yeah, here in America, it was 18 for quite a long time, but 21 here for my entire life so far.
Yeah.
And we adhered to that law.
We had just like, we're good citizens up here. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Nothing illegal. Nothing untoward happening over here.
No, we are public figures. We are not going to play around with the role that was bestowed on us.
We're very serious people.
We were good kids.
I'm very excited about next week's episode, the basketball episode. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that is a good answer. Next week's episode. That's the segue, Shane. So tune in.
Yeah. Okay. So we
hit that subscribe button.
Fine. Thank you very much once again for listening to this point and listening to all the weeks before.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, so much for listening. We really appreciate you coming along for the ride. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or if you just want to share your Degrassi memories, hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. We're getting a lot of emails coming in already. I'm looking at every one of them, and we're getting some fantastic questions, some real stumpers in there, and I'm looking forward to answering more.
Don't forget to sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/dgrads to get ad-free early episodes. It's the best way to listen to the podcast. Plus, we'll have some bonus content coming your way in the near future. Again, that's patreon.com/dgrads.
And wherever you listen to the podcast, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to them. It really helps us out, and it helps other Degrassi fans out there find the podcast on explore pages on whatever platforms they listen to. So do your part. Help out Degrads as we help you enjoy your week every week. But once again, thank you very much. This has been the Degrads podcast with Shane Kipple and Michael Bell, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.